Dominic Steele here, and welcome along to the Pastor's Heart. Thanks for joining us. It's a special edition for us this week. I'm in Jakarta in Indonesia and spending the week with a group of 10 or so Australian senior pastors checking out the work of Compassion in Indonesia. And what we're going to do in this unusual edition of the Pastor's Heart is touch base for an extended interview with two graduates of the Compassion program. One of them, he's been all the way through, he's come to Christ on the way, and during the program he's gone off to university and now is an entrepreneur here. The other one also came to Jesus. She started work as a university lecturer, a school teacher, and now is working for Compassion in Indonesia. I hope you enjoy this edition of the Pastor's Heart. Just before we get to Liberty Mingus and Krishna Prasetyo, I want to introduce you to two Australian pastors who've been part of this expedition to Indonesia with me, James Harricks from Centennial Park and Roger Fitzharding from Fairy Meadow. James, let's start with you. And we had the privilege yesterday of being invited into a home together.
Yeah, it was just remarkable, and it has been all week. This was a woman who'd seen her 10-year-old son go through the Compassion program and involved in the mums and babies group at a local project. One of the things we said to her was, share a favorite Bible verse or Bible story. And she said that her favorite passage was from Colossians 3 about... whatever you do, working as if working for the Lord and not for man, and spoke about it with such a gravity and a joy that was just so refreshing. It was remarkable.
And it was really a privilege for both of us to sit on the floor of her one-room little house. And then I was just thrilled when we asked her about, in terms of her son's engagement with the Compassion Project, and she produced his journal.
Yeah.
And it had a whole series of dates, and we'll put it up on the screen, of dates where he'd written, I can't read it, it's in Basi, but it's got Bible verse and dates, and clearly engaged in the scriptures.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just a remarkable privilege.
Yeah. Roger, what stood out for you and your heart this week?
I've realised that I'm pretty much an optimist most of the time and love seeing the upside of things. But there's a part of my heart that I think on the way over was cynical about how much difference programs like this could really make. And I've been just astonished at the way that Compassion is, in Jesus' name, bringing real change to individuals, families, communities, and the trajectory of people's lives. So some of the leaders that we've met are people who've been through the projects, and their stories are phenomenal. The way that God has worked in them and through them, and their sacrificial hearts, their motivation by the gospel, their dedication to doing what's best in places where that's complex is just fantastic. I think one of the most delightful parts was on the first project we visited. One of the first things that happened when the kids came in, they sat down and they started singing songs about Jesus, and they all knew them. This wasn't a show that was put on for us. This was what they do. And there's that joy that can only come from knowing Jesus.
We visited a church. We were walking from our visit to the home visit of a house, and as we went into that house, there was an open drain out the front, a little flimsy bit of wood. But as I was walking, I was talking to Spiro from Compassion, and he was telling me about a side project that the senior pastor of the church does. And the side project is running a private orphanage for 9 kids.
And it used to be 40.
And it used to be 40.
So, extraordinary.
So, Spiro, we've just been at the Compassion Project this morning, and as we've walked out, you've just told me, and I didn't pick this up, there's an orphanage that the minister of the project is running.
In 1965, the minister's father and mother began an orphanage. Unwanted kids in the community would be given to the pastor, and they decided to make the kids their own, and they adopted all the kids, and the orphanage grew to 40 children. At the moment, it's a lot of them graduated because their focus now is on Compassion Child sponsorship, but they still have 9 kids living in their home who were deserted by their parents. And the boy we saw at the project, he was given to the pastor and his wife when he was 7 days old, and parents had never been seen again. And the pastor and his wife love that boy like one of their own children. And that's the caliber of church that Compassion partners with. So that doesn't actually have anything to do with the Ministry of Compassion, except they're a big-hearted church that loves children.
Now, we're about to see a video featuring Krishna and Liberty, both graduates of the Compassion Program. What are some of the things that have impressed you about these two as you've got to meet them this week? Let's start with Krishna.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting my new church T-shirts printed by Krishna. This is a guy that has started up his own business with a view to using his entrepreneurial skills, but his heart is to serve Jesus with his whole life.
And really, from the slum to a small business with 6 employees, you know, it's extraordinary. And Liberty, she yeah. I heard you speak last night about the impression that she and some of the other Indonesian staff have made on you.
Yeah, they're highly intelligent. They're in the top of their class. They're top of the universities. They would be highly accomplished workers in any other field they wanted to, but have chosen to live sacrificially to contribute back to the organisation that has had such an impact on them personally. And they're just extraordinary. They're godly. They're servant-hearted. They have all the attributes we'd look for in a leader, of their convictions. Their heart is gold. You know, God has done something incredible amongst them.
Krishna, let me start with you. Tell us about early childhood for you.
My parents got married when I was 4 months in a womb. So they married by accident. And then when 2.5, my father went to Merauke in Papua Island for work there, but never returned. So for me, my childhood is very, very hard because I got so many rejections from the family members as well. After get divorced, my mom married again with a Muslim, my stepfather now, with 2 daughters. So I live with my stepsister and my stepfather. Actually, it's not easy because they're Muslim and I'm Christian, and one time my father don't allow my mother to go to the church. And yeah, because we live in the poverty, so it's hard for us to get the good education, something that can support my potential.
When you say poverty, tell us about life back then.
It's quite hard for us to have a good meals in that time.
What about you as a young child, Liberty? Tell us about early life for you.
My childhood was also not fun because I was born of Chinese mother and Japanese father, and we live in 2 cultures. And at school, my friends who are mostly Chinese, they are pure Chinese, they didn't like me because of my skin color and my background, my family background. We were from very poor family who couldn't afford three times meal a day.
How did you end up becoming part of the Compassion Project?
I started in 2000. Mm-hmm. I joined with Compassion in grade 2. My uncle took me to the church and registered me to the project at that time. And yeah, for me, the Compassion Project is a very good place for me because I can do everything that I want. I don't feel safe when I at home, but at the Compassion Project, it's very safe for me. Mm. I feel comfort there. Mm. Yeah.
Was the experience similar for you on the issue of safety?
Oh, yeah. In addition to feeling safe in the Compassion Project at church, I also feel accepted, mm. love.
Now, at the Compassion Project that we visited today, mm-hmm. I saw you leading the singing, and you just looked so totally at home in leading the singing. It was almost like you'd been part of a Compassion Project every week for 15 years.
Yes. Yeah, really enjoyed the moment because it reminds me about my childhood, my youth life. So for me, Compassion Project Church is my second home.
Mm. As we were talking earlier, I was asking about watching some of the kids today, mm-hmm. Being fed at the end of the day and queuing up for food, mm-hmm. and asking, was it possible for them to take food home, share it with parents? How did that work for you and family life growing up in the projects that you were part of?
Like milk is a very precious thing for us. So we have to go to the Compassion Project 2 times or 3 times a week, and we will have like the very good meals there. Mm. And sometimes, yeah, we can get like snacks that we can go bring home.
Meals of the project are the best. It's the best. Yeah. Yeah. In our house, back then, to have twice meals a day is a privilege. To have good, nutritious food, yeah, is a rare opportunity. So when I came to the project and enjoyed the program and finished the activity, for me, the meals is my reward.
Tell us about coming to a personal trust in Jesus.
Okay, so I received Jesus as my savior when I was in junior high school. Totally. And that's my life changed from that time. I really love to read the Bible every day because, you know, in every morning when I read, I have something like it's like my breakfast. So I have an energy for my entire, mm-hmm. for one day. So for me, Jesus is everything, and mm-hmm. I really, really cannot imagine if I don't know how Jesus is. Mm. So yeah, I thank God that I can receive, because I have I can say that I have not good or bad family background. Mm.
Now we're on the pastor's heart, and forgiveness, yeah. has been a very big issue for you.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through forgiveness and particularly forgiving your parents?
Yeah. Yeah, so because I feel like my parents has left me, so I feel very angry at that time. I can forgive my mother, my father, and my stepfather. So I cannot call my father and my stepfather father. So, you know, it's hard to say that, but I thank to God because at first time I received Jesus, The first thing that Jesus said to me is forgive your parents. And yeah, it takes maybe 1 month for me to encourage myself to come to my mother or to come to my stepfather and to say that I love them, I love you, and forgive me and I forgive you.
Liberty, meeting Jesus and then the transforming work of the gospel in your life. Tell us first about meeting Jesus for you.
Meeting Jesus, I met him personally when I was in sixth grade on Bible camp held by my church, partnering with Compassion Project. So my pastor, he helped us sharing about Jesus, the salvation in him, and at that time he invited the children to come forward, and I felt in my heart, I know it's Holy Spirit pushing me to went forward and be prayed for in the altar. So at that time I decided to give myself to him and receive him as my savior. And yes, because I long for love, like unconditional love that I can only get in him, in Christ, in Jesus. And once I knew that, so I decided to say yes right away to the salvation thing. Mm-hmm. So after that decision, as I grew in the project and at the church, my mentors, pastors, they helped me to understand more about who Jesus is and why he loves me, and my self-image is changing. I was changing since then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before I thought that I was not worthy because my friend disliked me at school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt rejected because they said, oh, Liberty, you're from poor family, we're rich, so sorry, we don't want you to be our friend. So rejections, and yeah, after I received Jesus as my savior and all these adult people helping me to understand, and also my parents, of course, I felt that my point of view is changing.
Mm-hmm.
So my self-image is restored.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, as God says, Liberty, I love you. You're very precious in my sight. And those promises in the Bible, my mentors and my pastors, my parents taught me about. Yeah, I was starting to live in it. So, yeah.
Graduating from the program and then being sent to university through the leadership program linked as part of Compassion. Why don't we start with you? How did that work?
After I graduated from senior high school, I have to go to the university because this is the first step that I have to do. And thanks to God that Compassion allow me to joined on the LDP and Leadership Development Program. I have so many friends that support me. We have so good community. So we do so many things to help another people. And we get lots of training for the social, emotional, cognitive, and especially for leadership things.
Liberty, what about you? You were a couple of years ahead going through the similar program to university. Yeah.
When I knew about Jesus, when I decided to follow him and receive him as my savior, I knew that I have hope in him. That is why, first thing first, I need to do is, through education.
Now, as you think about the day that we've had and looking at the different Compassion projects, what excites you about what you saw this morning?
When the team ask about children's dream, what they do want to be in the future, and all of them, they their face change, and mm-hmm. I can see the excitement in their eyes. They answer that question with professions.
Lots of kids put up their hands and said, I want to be a teacher, yeah. I want to be a doctor, yeah. mm-hmm. or I want to be a chef. And
yes.
And I thought, as I reflected back on it, I thought, they were probably the three professions that they have seen in the from their worldview position of sitting where they do as compassion kids. Mm-hmm. They're the three professionals that they've seen, is it?
Yeah. True. Yes. Medical check, they see doctors coming and check them.
Yeah. And teachers, they see them, and people cooking for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So these people who've expressed love to them, they say, I want to go be somebody who expresses love to somebody else in the future.
Yeah.
This afternoon, we went into the homes of different kids from the project.
Yep.
As you go and visit people's homes, it must sort of take you back in a little way to your home as a child.
Yeah. It's true. The feeling, the atmosphere, the hopelessness in the eyes of the family, in the same, slightly. I could slightly see that. And when then we prayed, after we prayed, then their face lights up, like mm-hmm. there's something. After the encouragement words we share to them, after our coming to their house, that might be other people will not come to their house because of their situation and condition, and the buildings maybe that hinders people to come and visit them.
Mm-hmm.
But we broke the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we came to their house and bring hope.
A couple of other thoughts I had that I just wanted to bounce off with you.
Mm-hmm.
One was just the first impression I had as I walked into the project
mm-hmm.
was these kids are happy.
Mm.
And that they were clean.
Yeah.
And that their teeth were good.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were well behaved.
Mm.
Now, I didn't take any of those things for granted. And somebody said they think they might actually be happier at the project than they are at home.
Yeah. Yes, of course, because maybe at home they do not experience love, attention from the family.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come to the project and all the teachers, mentors, volunteers, staffs, pastors, they love them as who they are, then is this normal if they are happy and excited and feel that his friend is his brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
one family. So, yeah.
You shared a little earlier tonight something mm-hmm. about an assault and then how Jesus had helped you through that.
Yeah. Yeah, I experienced that when I was a kid and even when I was teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
By my family
mm-hmm.
member. At that moment, I didn't know that it was sexual abuse until I grew up and joined women camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that camp, the speaker at that time asked us to think, is there anything in your past that hinders you from seeing God as Father, good, loving God, or... Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. So I started to think, and that those two moments popping up in mm-hmm. my mind, and that's why I cannot have a deep relationship with God and cannot have a deep relationship with my family. So there's something in me that is not right, that makes me very, like, introverted, like very
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be touched by mm-hmm. other people, like don't want to share about me, don't want to just sharing, it's very hard for mm-hmm. me. So there's something that I hide, and in that camp, I realized that, oh, yeah, that's because I was abused, and I didn't know that that's abuse.
Darman, can I ask you, when you hear a story of child sexual abuse that comes to you from outside the project, what do you or one of the mentors as partnership facilitator, what's the pastoral line of action?
The mentor or child protection staff with project director or church leader can go to police because they have a child protection and mother protection unit. So they will give a report to the police about the case, and then after that, the police will work together, start the process to find the information and also the perpetrator to try to get the perpetrator and also the proof about that before they bring the case to the justice court.
And then you swing in with pastoral support for the children.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
We have a procedure and also manual that have a church, that's mean the leader of the church, related child protection issue, because child protection issue is the big issue in Indonesia. So church must enforce to prevent and also to respond the child protection issue.
Now I'm back with James Harrix and Roger Fitzharding. Key take homes for the week for you, James.
I think I'm thoroughly convinced about supporting Compassion as an organisation. Having seen firsthand the work they do, the leaders they have, the training they have, it is a high-quality organisation that entrusts locals and local churches to do the ministry, but provides the scaffolding and training and resources to do that better.
And Roger?
I've been persuaded that Compassion is worth supporting because it's about relationship and prayer. So Compassion don't want corporate sponsors who would just give stacks of money, although money is useful. But what the goal of this program is to have kids who grow up prayed for and relationally connected, written to in ways that transform them physically with the support they get, spiritually, and with a hope that comes from being exposed to leaders who've been through that process themselves.
I think for me, the rebuke of this week, and as a family, we're on our second generation of Compassion Kids, and so we got a number of several of them when our children were little, and now they've graduated from the program, and now we're on our second generation. And I think having met a number of children this week for the first time and seen the difference that their sponsor's investment in their life has made, I have felt profoundly rebuked. Because although we've financially sponsored for 20 years, personally, I've not been a good letter writer. Mm. And in the hurly-burly of ministry life, that's just one of the things I didn't do.
Yeah.
And so... for me, one of the resolutions of this week is just not only to keep going with my Compassion Kids, but to be a better letter writer, a better investor in their lives. And actually, now that my first generation are graduates of the program, to find them and to apologise to them for not being as good letter writer as I should have been.
Good on you.
You've been with us on The Pastor's Heart. Now, next week, we're going to be talking to Jay Behan, and he, of course, is going to be 1 week away from being made the bishop of the new Confessing Anglicans Diocese in New Zealand, and he's going to be our guest on an early edition of The Pastor's Heart next Monday, and so I hope you can join us then. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover the Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.